Good morning, everybody. Wow, what a great group. We've got a nice large crowd still coming in. It's so great to see all of you. So we went from California to New York to Colorado and where was that then? Colorado and, oh my gosh, my mind's totally blank. Texas. No, our speaker yesterday. Colorado, New York. Oh my gosh, where's our, oh, Kansas. And now we're, then we came back to California last night and now we're going up to Seattle, Washington. It's been an incredible experience, and I've enjoyed every single one of the speakers. I've enjoyed everything this week, and it's just been an amazing time here and a wonderful fellowship and made new friends. So our next speaker is from Seattle. Her name is Jerry. Come on up, honey. And actually, I should have had my co-chair, Cheryl, introduce her because Cheryl had called and told me about her, and so thank you, Cheryl, for getting her, and I'm excited to hear her. She's I'll let her tell her story, so here she is.
Hi, I'm Jerry, and I'm a compulsive eater. Oh, gosh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you all for being here, because I need all the help I can get. I can't do this alone. Oh, gosh. Let's see. My abstinence date is February 4th, 2008. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, and I've given away and maintaining 74 pounds weight loss in CHOW. I had the privilege, when I first came to the program, I was living here in Southern California, so I had the wealth of face-to-face meetings available to me, so I got a really good start in the program. I'm really grateful for that. Meetings in Whittier, Downey, Long Beach, so really grateful. Let's see, stay on focus here. So how things were when I was in the food, it seemed like from the very beginning I was always stuffing my feelings down. Classic story. I grew up in an alcoholic home. It was very, there was a lot of anger it seemed like I could never do anything right. So I always felt like I was never enough. That was something that I was always dealing with every day. And so I was always trying to stuff my feelings down. And the way that I, of course, from the very beginning, I used food to do that. That food gave me the comfort that I couldn't get otherwise. And I, from a very young age, I didn't feel comfortable at the dinner table. That anger was there, and I just really, so basically what happened, I ended up eating at another location close by, but not at the dinner table. I didn't feel safe. My weight didn't, well, I was a very chubby child. I was always heavy, but I guess not too bad. Now, it wasn't like I was being pushed into diets or anything as a child. So, let's see. I'll fast forward a little bit. When I was 23, I got to a point in my life where nothing was working. My parents, of course, I'm an Al-Anon too, so I'm understanding myself a lot better now. My parents, they weren't the parents that I wanted. My boss, they were. My boss was very. He would pick on me, and I understand now that it was my weight. He would compare me to the other employees, and I was kind of like, I could never be enough at that point either for my boss and. So I had a boyfriend. I still, I was always feeling like I wasn't enough. I couldn't be enough for him. I couldn't be enough for my parents or my employer. So when I was 23 years old, this is whenever, things really started to change for me. And this is the honest truth. At that age, I needed a change, and so I subscribed to Rolling Stone magazine, and there was an ad in the back that said Alaskan fishing jobs, and so I purchased this basically a catalog of all these companies that hired in Alaska, and I thought, okay, well, that's my answer. I'm just going to go to Alaska And that's going to fix me. That's, you know, I'm going to get away from this life that I don't like any part of it. So I ended up getting a job, and I went to Alaska and worked in the cannery for that summer and in the summer afterwards. And I liked it because, you know, there was a lot of people that were doing the same thing I was. They were running away from their life. And, you know, some of them were running away from their, you know, their husbands or their family, their the law, you know, all these things, you know. So I felt like I fit right in. It was great. I was running away from my life too, but of course I was in denial about it then. So I worked in you know, I've been working in the industry for a while, and I moved up into management. So I worked in the canneries. I also had a chance to work in processing and, you know, in Dutch Harbor, St. Paul, those places that you'll see on the Discovery Channel now. I've seen those places, and they're really beautiful. So I was able to work hard. And the thing was, too, is when you work hard, when you're working those long hours, you can eat a lot of food and not gain weight. I was lifting a lot, you know, just you work between 14 and 16 hours a day, and that's the normal thing. And you don't do anything else. You just sleep. You eat and your work. And you know, that worked for me for quite a long time. So I worked my way up into management. I love the fishing industry, the commercial fishing industry. It's an exciting business to be in. And I'm still in it today. So I eventually moved my way up into management. And I had a right hand man that worked for me, and he was just really great. And I bring him up because he passed away in 2004 from complications of diabetes, and so that really impacted me. That's when things really changed in my life. I became very angry. I was very angry that he passed away, and I guess I was angry at God too, because, you know, how dare you take him away from me? I need him. You know, I was working in a very stressful situation. So I really depended on him a lot, and I proceeded to, instead of talking about his death and dealing with it in a more normal way, I just continued to eat, and I guess I gained about 60 pounds from that event. I was really angry, and I didn't talk about his death for a long time. My disease progressed. I really couldn't function in my job. I was obsessed with food. The snack machine, I was there all the time. that snack machine was my best friend. And I pushed more and more people away. And I really couldn't function in my job. And I loved that job. I really did. And I just couldn't do it anymore. The disease took over. And so, again, I look at the pattern in my life. I was resentful against my boss, and the fact that he was basically covering for me in my job. I couldn't do it anymore. I was resentful against the man in my life and the fact that I had no life. You know, when you're, you know, I was, what, 34 years old then. I didn't have a life. I didn't have a husband, didn't have kids, didn't have any of these things. And, you know, and I was just very unhappy. So what was the natural thing for me to do was to run away. So I did. I found a job here in L.A. and is in a poultry plant, which I never thought I would do, a poultry processing plant, which is basically the same thing as fish. So, you know, I mean, it just, you know, just put one thing into the other, you know, just it was kind of the same thing. It was still a dirty job. It was, you know, physical, not quite as physical as I'd done in Alaska, but it still suited me. And plus the salary was twice, you know, that just really spoke to my ego. You know, yeah, I have a, you know, go back to L.A. where my family and friends are and make more money. That's going to fix me. That's going to make me happy. Finally, I'm going to find happiness. And that didn't happen because I had to take myself with me, you know. There I was, wherever I went, you know, I still had to take myself and all of my isms with me. So that job lasted about a year and a half, and I still, my disease is progressing, and of course all the great food here that I grew up with, I couldn't keep away from it. So I knew that I didn't want to run away, but I needed to do something different. So I was encouraged by a friend to join Al-Anon, and Al-Anon
encourages you to take care of yourself. So I started downsizing my life. I got a job that didn't pay as much, didn't have as much responsibility. I was starting to get humbled. I was starting to get beaten down, but I still was very defiant and angry and couldn't take direction. So I changed jobs and just kind of cut everything in half. So I was working at a job that I thought I was overqualified for, and I proceeded to tell them what they could do to change their business and how they could, you know, fix everything and how things would work better, because I knew better. That was what the person that I became. I thought that I knew everything. I had no discipline. I resented authority, and that was the person that I became. I couldn't take any direction. And so I lasted about 5 months in that position, and then they fired me, which was just, that was like the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's so funny to say that, but it is the truth. That is what finally got my attention. My Al-Anon sponsor at the time, she was my Eskimo, and she took me to my first CEHAL meeting in January 2008, and that's when I heard my story being told by other people about, you know, hiding food and you know, eating, you know, just eating secretly, all those things that I've been doing, you know, just around food and obsessive food and just everything that, you know, that I was doing, that these people in the meeting were telling my story. And so I got a sponsor. And I started the program February 4th, 2008, and I had so many questions because I wanted this program to suit my needs, not the other way around. You know, I still wasn't quite there where I was, you know, had complete willingness. I had the mustard seed planted, but I was still questioning everything. And my sponsor, she's so great because she just told me, she said, "This is not rocket science." She just basically said, "Shut up and do it," and I did. And it's like, "Yes, ma'am." But I had a lot of respect for her, and she's just great. She's just what I needed at that time. Someone to just tell me how it is, because I was, you know, I thought I knew it all. So when she stepped me up at 30 days, she told the group she didn't think I was going to make it a week. But thank God, I haven't looked back. I know that this program has saved my life, and it's not going to work otherwise. This disease wants to kill me, and I have the willingness to live today. So about 4 months later, after joining the program, I was going to college, and I just finished a semester, full semester at that point. I was called back to work by the company that I had quit in Alaska. They called me and said, "Hey, we hear that you're not working," because I had been unemployed for 7 months at that point. So they said, "Well, we hear you're not working, and we need someone to go to Bristol Bay for a month." And I thought, "Oh my God!" I did. I went to Bristol Bay. But the first thing that came to my mind was, how am I going to stay abstinent when I go to Alaska, this little town, this little village on the west coast of Alaska? How is that going to happen? But I'd heard a couple things in the meetings that really carried me through a lot. And it was a Friday morning meeting in Downey, and I heard someone say, "There is enough, I have enough, and I am enough." And that really spoke to me, because I have always felt like I wasn't enough, that I couldn't be enough, there just wasn't enough of anything. You know, I couldn't get enough sugar, for sure. You know, that there wasn't enough of anything. So that, I really held on to that with both hands. And the other thing was that's really carried me through is faith, not fear. Having faith in a higher power, and having faith in the program, because, you know, without the program, I know that I'm lost. I need the structure. I need the discipline. If you give me an inch, I will take a mile, and then some. So I went back to work and finished that. I worked that month, and what was great is, you know, if you've been to any place like that that's really remote, you know, food is very expensive. Just produce is upwards of $8 and $9 a pound for something that might be 2 or 3 here. So it was amazing, because when I was there, I thought, "Oh my gosh, how's this going to work?" And
I did take my grains with me, but everything else was there. Everything that I have been having on my food plan was there. It was available, and the company paid for all of it. And so that was just a blessing, too. And, you know, I had been unemployed, so I really didn't have any money to get me through anyway. And one more unemployment check at that point, too, which is part of the miracle. I ended up, I finished that month there in Bristol Bay, and then went to Seattle and worked in a temporary position for a little while, got a permanent job, and so I've been in Seattle since then. I really love it there. So some significant things that have happened since becoming abstinent, and I've been able to hold onto the program with both hands. In May of 2009, I lost the place that I was living at. Basically, there was a breakup between me and the man that I had been on and off again, on again. And I had been going to Al-Anon at that point too. I had only lived there 10 months. I didn't know very many people besides my coworkers. And a woman in Al-Anon took me in basically for 3 weeks until I found my own place. After that breakup happened, and I didn't turn to the food, but I realized at that point, too, that being in the food, I would always, you know, stuff my feelings down with the food, and so I realized that, you know, it was important for me to feel my feelings and not just stuff them down. Of course, feelings aren't always the truth either, I've learned, but it was important not to hold those things back. And so I think I cried for a few months after that happened, but I didn't turn to the food, and I made a lot of calls every day. There wasn't any meetings there, so I depended on the phone bridge meetings quite a bit. I love those phone bridge meetings. They're definitely part of the miracles in my life. And there was one woman that lived 30 miles from me. Her name is Charlene. I know some of you phone bridge folks will remember Charlene, and she was great. We met together for about 2 years, and she really helped me work a strong program. It was very encouraging. She wasn't my sponsor, but she's very important. She was important. I mean, there was only one other member that was there in Seattle working the program that I had close contact with. Apparently, when I moved there, it was in July. I was about this time of the year, and there had been some CEHOW meetings that dissolved that spring, so I missed it by a few months. We do have a face-to-face meeting today. It started in November, so I'm really grateful to share about that. Hopefully, we'll have some more if you all come and visit us. So. I'll get my thoughts together here. How am I doing on time? So I did find a place to live that after that breakup, and that worked out pretty well for a year. And I realized that I needed to spend some time on my own. Being the codependent that I am and people pleaser, I realized that, you know, I needed to get to know myself. So I did that. I didn't have a man in my life for, well, at least a year and a half. And that worked out well because I, you know, being in the food prior, I really didn't know much about myself. That's where most of my focus was, is the food and where to get it, how to get it. Not having a significant other in my life, I was able to focus on me. And like today, just a simple example is that my favorite color is blue. I didn't know that before. I didn't know that I was always attracted to that color, but I never really stopped and took the time to get to know myself that well. Good things that are happening today. Last year I found a great apartment in Seattle. It's fantastic. It's better than I ever would have imagined. And it's an example of higher power doing things for me that are better than I could ever imagine. I have a beautiful view of the city skyline and Elliott Bay, And it just, and it's affordable. You know, I'm not going over my head with this, and so I'm really grateful for that. And let's see, this past March, things really started to change for me. I was approached with a job opportunity that I wasn't looking for another job, because I was happy with staying in that position I was in with the seafood company. At the corporate office, which, you know, still amazes me that I have this kind of a job. But this woman that I worked with prior, she called me and said, hey, I have this opportunity, and I'd really like you to come and work for me. I mean, which is amazing, considering, you know, the way I had been fired just, you know, a few years ago. So I'm really humbled by these types of things happening. And also about that time in March, I started online dating, which was really a huge thing for me, because I'm naturally an introvert, so I was a little bit scared to do that, but I did. You know, I feel like higher power really was guiding me in that way. So I started online dating, and I met someone really, really great on that online application. So another thing about Seattle, I want to say, I grew up here in Southern California, and of course I went to Alaska, and you know, that was pretty far away, but being in Seattle, I finally feel like I'm at home. You know, not only am I at home in my own skin, I feel like I'm at home, and I don't have to rent anymore. That's been the biggest lesson for me recently, is knowing that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm right at the size I'm supposed to be, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be in the world, and you know, I don't have to run away, and that means a lot to me, just to feel comfortable in my own skin and where I'm at. So also, let's see, I took a great vacation, and my relationship with my parents, of course, has been really rocky, you know, this going through all the isms with the alcoholic background, and I had a really great time. I went on a vacation with my mother in April, and that was the best vacation of my life. And of course, I came down here to Southern California and saw family, and was able to get along with my family. What a concept. You know, I wasn't telling them what to do. They, you know, we all got along, and it's because I've changed, not them. That's the miracle in my life. And just last month in June, I started that new job that former employer had called me to, and it's great. I mean, I couldn't have got this job without being abstinent. I just, you know, the example that I had shown her before when we worked together, I was abstinent when I worked with her. She saw the discipline and the focus and the attention to detail that I'm capable of, and so I have a really great job, and it's amazing. It's amazing what has happened in my life because I'm abstinent today. It's just, you know, well, I can't do it alone, though. I'm grateful for all of you. Let's see. And things that I do in my daily for my recovery is I write on the seven tools each day what I'm doing to honor them. I also write a gratitude list. I write at least five things. I write a gratitude list that I'm grateful for. And I also write out the Serenity Prayer. And I started doing that last year in about the spring. And that's just done so much more, not just saying, you know, my prayers and meditating, but also writing out my prayers. That's just really, really done a lot for me in my recovery, and I'm so grateful. I have a lot of great people that I talk to often, and in this program and in the other program that I'm in, and I have a wealth of people that, you know, are always pushing me to do better and keeping me in check. I still tend to do too much sometimes. I'm very compulsive. I try to be the human doing instead of a human being at times. But I have people that will reel me in and say, hey, you know, don't take on too many things. Don't overwork yourself. So I'm grateful for that. People that are in my life on a daily basis. I just still... You know, I feel like I'm still just a baby in this program, but there's so much to learn, and I've learned so much from this the conference. I've served as a Area 1 delegate this year, which is just amazing to be part of that and the decision-making process. Thank you to Cheryl for encouraging me to do this. Because otherwise, it's another opportunity that I wouldn't have taken advantage of. That, you know, I'm just me. I'm just a little part of this, and you know, I didn't realize I could be a part of something so big. I think I've just about covered everything. So I don't know how I'm doing on time, but I don't know. I think that's about all I have to share today. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, so continuing on, I just want to thank everyone again for being here. I want to also announce that we are still looking for a chair and co-chair for next year. And I would like to say once again, please, anyone that's even thinking about it a little bit, you will get so much out of it if you stand up to do that. It was a real learning experience for me this year and such a loving thing to do for myself. And, you know, be able to pass whatever on I could to anyone. So I will love to talk to you afterwards if you'd like to do that. And I would also like to acknowledge a few people. One of them is Mindy. Is Mindy? Where is Mindy? Stand up. There she is. She has been fabulous liaison, and I know that she's going to do so well next year as the chair for the World Service. And also, Renee, where are you? Oh, she's outside because she's doing her job. But anyway, I want to let you know how wonderful that she was to be right by my side every single minute of the day. And I couldn't have done it without the help of her or and everyone else. And of course, where's Ray? Oh, yeah, Ray, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. We would not be all here if it wasn't for this wonderful woman. It's just amazing to me how one little person could have done so much for everybody. So so thank you. I would like also for all of the chairs that are still here and co-chairs on on all of the 20 committees, if you would stand up so we could acknowledge you. Thank you. And then keep standing. And then anyone that has worked on the committee, on any of these committees, if you could stand up. Okay, and keep standing. And then? All right. And then please, could everyone that's been here join all these people and stand up? Because I want to acknowledge all of you for being here to help me in my recovery. That's good. Okay. And Lola, I was just wondering, would you have one of those sheets that people sign when they come up front? If you do, you could bring it up. I'll be using it in a little while. Otherwise, I did a little makeshift thing, which I have to do sometimes when I get a little bit crazy. Okay. So at the end here, what we'll be doing is having people come up and share their experience, strength, and hope with us and tell us what you have loved about the convention. If you haven't liked something, you can keep that to yourself. No, you can also share whatever you want. And also, I would like to tell you that if you want a list of people that are willing to give their names and numbers, that you and you haven't put that on your registration, then please come up and I'll take a list of anyone else that wants their numbers shared with anyone or wants a list of people that want to share their numbers of our members so that we could outreach each other, which we do so much during the day. Okay, so I want to, I'm going to ask people to go to the back of the room that want to share. But before I do that, I would like to have Elisa come up because we want to do the raffle for the special little prize. And then someone who wants to pick the raffle ticket. Okay, Ray. Oh, she'll go back to you. Ray will pick it. Also, there we go. And because I, you know, something there was, go ahead. Okay. Because I want to let you know that you all have these raffle tickets with you, and you could be a winner. And I was told by someone in this program that I could make mistakes, which I made many, many, doing this convention, but I am not a mistake. And so even if you don't win, you are winners, every single one of you. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It is, and this, what we're getting actually was donated back to us because we get and we give. Okay? So it's 49488 6. Woohoo! So there's a basket right in the back there. And just remember, we're all winners. And then we have another real special treat for you. Claudette, are you here? Are you here, Claudette? Okay, come on up. Come on up. And then we'll after Claudette comes up, we're going to have anyone that wants to share go in the back of the room, and then there'll be a sign-up sheet for you to sign if you are talking today, and so that we're recording this. Okay. Okay, Claudette, I have to tell you she's a very special person to me. We've been friends for quite a while here in my little amount of time in this program. And I would like for her to sing to us.
I'm Claudette. I'm a grateful, compulsive overeater in recovery. And before I sing, I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank all of you who have supported me through the death of my husband on the 5th of May and my daughter on the 5th of June this year. It's only by the grace of God and the support that I've gotten in this community and my other communities that I'm able to even stand up here today. But I want to sing about that grace. And this is dedicated to my big friend, Ray, who has done so much for all of us. At the end, I would please ask you to join in. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind,
But now I see through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come towards grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace will lead me on. Your turn. See how. I once was lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. See how. One more time. This is your last chance. See how. Sopranos, where are you? See how.
See how. Wow. Well, now you see why we say that our convention theme is "See How It Works." Does it work if we work it? Yes, it does. Wow. So I would like for everyone that would like to share to just line up right here, and then you could come up, sign your name here so that we can record you. And also, Jerry and Claudette, I need you to sign also on the form if you would, please. Okay, so who wants to go first? Who wants to go first in their recovery here? Okay. Okay. And what's your name?
I'm Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lorraine. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
And I won the biggest prize. It wasn't in a basket. It was willingness. And some of you know me. You've seen me around these rooms since 1972. And when I came in, I got 3 months of abstinence. It's the longest I've ever had. And although I didn't gain it all back, I have gone up and down over the years, because it was about how I look and about what you think of me. And what I learned today from people like our chairman and all the people that worked for this beautiful, beautiful convention is it's about developing ourselves from within, not how we look from without. And I've always done the diet my way. And I just can't tell you how appreciative I am. I was sitting next to a lady at one of the meetings thinking to myself, wow, her handwriting is so beautiful. And I had surgery on my thumb, and so I can't write very well. And we took hands at the end to do a prayer, and she said, you know, you have to hold up my hand because it's paralyzed. Her other hand was paralyzed. And, you know, we've heard that story about we complained because we had no shoes, and then we saw the man with no feet. And she was so warm and loving. I'm kind of in the background this time. Next year it'll be different. And she put her arm around me. She helped me with my shawl. And it's just little things like that. Little things. Every little step means so much. And I now know that it's not about how I look, but it's about who I am. And people like you have helped me to understand that. Thank you so much for everything you've given me today and this weekend.
Hi, I'm Tova, compulsive eater. My heart is so full, and I am so touched by absolutely every face in this room. I'm very emotional about it. I have been in this program since 87. On and off, mostly on. And this is the first convention I've ever attended. And it's unusual because I've been a participant. But not all the way. Toe in the water, all right, five toes in the water, all right, maybe a foot, all right, maybe just up like, you know, the old Miami Beach women who sit there in the water and they just go like that and they go, ah, boy, it feels so good, you know, and they take the water and they put it in the boobs and that's it. And they think that they're actually swimming in the ocean. And I didn't know I was going to even say this. This is funny. But I have a good time, and you're welcome to join along. But that's how it feels, or has felt. And now I feel like I actually went in the water with this convention. And I know a lot of you are nodding and feel the same way, to really be a participant and connect with people. I connected with somebody I sponsored who's from Las Vegas. She knows who she is. Ages ago, years and years ago. It's like, Tava. But beyond that, the inspiration of the symbiosis of the group, it doesn't compare to anything. It's amazing. And so this convention is sending me back to my life with all of the goodness and the gratitude that I have in my life, but also a lot of the issues with a new faith and a new inspiration and a new uplift. And I just have to thank all the people that give service at the higher level, and Suzanne, who I adore as a friend as well, for giving us this gift. And Ray, thank you for this amazing grace of a gift. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle, compulsive overeater bulimic. Hi, I have 144 days of recommitted abstinence today, and I'm just so grateful to be here. I mean, when I started over, you know, I have live meetings, but a huge, like, amount of my program is the phone bridge, you know, because I would do the live meetings, you know, but I would do phone bridge twice a day. I just want to thank and welcome all the phone bridge people, because I felt like I wasn't being judged, you know, because I had a lot of shame. And it's really cool that you guys are here. And I'm just so emotionally, you know, feel really emotional to be here. And I just thank you so much. And I just want to say, you know, if what you're doing isn't working, do more. I mean, I did, in my first 30 days, I was doing 2 phone bridge meetings a day. And, you know, 7 in the morning, 6 p.m. I mean, I only worked a couple of days my first 30 days. And then I do my live meetings, and then I'm in 2 other programs. So, I mean, I really wanted the obsession to be removed. It wasn't removed in my last almost 4 years of absence, and I was miserable. And I just want to say, you know, just do more. You know, even though they say, you know, 3 meetings a week, for me, that's not enough. Just do more. You know, and you can have the gift. And I'm just really grateful to be here. Thank you.
My name is Debbie. I'm a cultivator. I want to thank everyone who put on this convention and all the people who do service. It really is a blessing and a gift. I know it's a lot of work, but it is really so worth it. And I'd like to recognize Jan, who is a blessing in my life every day, and I'm so grateful for her. It's her birthday, and I'd like to acknowledge that.
Thank you, Debbie. And thank you, Suzanne, for this wonderful, wonderful convention. I'm Jan, compulsive eater. If any of you were on the phone bridge this morning at 7 o'clock, yeah, that was me. But Debbie said, come on, let's recognize you. I am so grateful to be here. This is, I think, like my fifth or sixth convention. And I've been very blessed to be able to come. After I left the first one, I was like, there's something wrong here. And I was very depressed. And what happened was I realized, this is for the rest of my life. And I'm like, I don't know, but I will take it a day at a time. And 7 years later and 7 days, I'm still here. I am still blessed. All of you folks, I look at you and I think, this is just a miracle. I've watched this convention grow, and the commitment and just everything that I see here is just so wonderful. I've been blessed this time especially with rooming with 2 of my wonderful dedicated sponsees. I met another one who I had never met, and but we had connected through phone bridge, and I have all these face-to-face meetings available that I do go to. But I also love the phone bridge, and I want to commend all of you folks for all the great service that you do. And, oh, okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jen. Happy birthday to you. Keep coming back without a snack. That's it.
7 years of abstinence. I told her she had to come up here to show newcomers that it's possible to stay abstinent. So if she can do it and I can do it, anybody can do it.
Thank you. Okay. Next. Lois.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm a compulsive eater. Tatiana, you're supposed to have my back. Oh, well. Have each other's backs. Thank you. And Karen, thank you for last year setting a template for this convention, how to do conventions that we've been always needing, and then setting, yeah, the precedent for this, and then helping this lady, and you made it a joy. We would have these committee meetings. It starts gearing up pretty much in January and becomes like once a month, and we volunteer to be a chairperson, and then you gather up your committee, and it starts to evolve, and like a flower, it starts opening up. And some committees have to start their work a lot earlier. Mine had to gear up a little later. Can't really make the decorations till really July 4th because they'll get dusty and grandchildren will pull them apart. Which I had to put up caution tape on the crime scene for one of them. I'm on that phone call. It was a conference call. It would be a Sunday afternoon. And to hear the people from all over, 20 people and their co-chairs, with the energy and the work they were doing, it was a joy. I've been on the board of directors. I did that for 4 years. And those are long and marathon and good. This had a different, there's not even a word for it, an energy and a joy of people gearing up. And then it's the day of the party. And they asked me to do the first workshop, and I thought we'd have five people, seven for the early birds. It was packed. The party started to come, and you came from all over, all of you, every single person arriving from near and far. Do you know what this means? And we all look terrific. We've been abstinent for 48 hours. I mean, we're tired from last night, from dancing till the cows came home, till they kicked us out, but we're glowing. I mean, this is the most attractive, energetic, incredible, loving group of people. Committed to recovery from a horrible, death-defying condition that the world doesn't understand. You guys are incredible. I am so privileged. I was kissing people on their hands. I mean, I'm on my knees to be a part. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this program, for finding the recovery in life, and being the person that God always wanted me to be. Thank you so much, all of you.
I'm Tatiana, recovering anorexic compulsive eater. Oh, I want to run like hell right now. And but I could hear my sponsor in my head saying, get up and share. She's in England right now, but God, it's so hard for me to cry in front of you because I'm not really a crier and you know, it reminds me, I feel about 7 years old. I used to go back to boarding school. I feel like this is my family. You are my family. And this is such a shock to me. It's like, I'm going back to my family. I should be happy, but this is my family. And it's funny because we often think of California. I live in Hawaii right now, and I figure, you know, there's a lot to do in California. You're probably not thinking of us, but we're kind of out there waving, like, you know, don't forget about us. And one of the reasons I came here was because we're not that good at growing the fellowship where I live, and I want to get better at that. And I realized I needed to come here and see you and be seen. And I love the phone bridge. I depend on the phone bridge for my recovery, but it's like you're our next door neighbors, you know, and then with everyone coming from the East Coast and Central Time, and I've met you all here. Very, very grateful. And I feel petrified about going back to Hawaii. But, you know, God is funny. It's like I left my phone in the car at the airport. And it was like, oh, my God, how the hell am I going to survive, you know, without the phone, traveling, my calls and everything. But, you know, it's all been taken care of. And it's like it forced me, probably knowing me, I'd have been sitting in my room, you know, making my calls and not coming out to see you people. It's like, you know, God has the perfect plan. And I just thank you so much. I just feel like I take you all back with me. And yeah, I'm abstinent today, you know. And actually, I have to tell you a secret. I'm always going to leave this program tomorrow. I have to be honest. I really do. It's why my sponsor didn't want to sponsor me. It's why I didn't want to come back to 12 Steps, because as she told me, you know, I got so smart in other spiritual stuff. Now I do the combination with See How. Thank God I found a combination to keep studying God as I understand God and be here with the 12 step stuff. But really, my ego only allows me to be here for 24 hours because I'm way too smart and I spiritualize my smartness, and I'm off tomorrow, you know. I'm off to yoga full time, off to something else full time. But I belong here, you know. My eating disorder is my biggest defense against God, and I tried to do it without you guys, and I had to come back. So I'm very, very thankful. Thank you for this amazing few days, and I'll be thinking of you, be on the phone bridge, and look forward to meeting again.
Hi, I'm Q. And, no, I've been talking to Tatiana for a long time because I call her 10 or 11 o'clock at night, California time, which is a lot earlier in Hawaii. And so we've been friends for a long time, and it's just been so neat to put the face and the hugs and the loves together. It's just been wonderful. I just love it. Thank you. And then last night, I've talked with Janann. I hear Janann on the meetings all the time, too, because I'm a big phone bridge person, even though I live here in Southern California. Ray, I do go to face-to-face meetings. But when she said, Janann, and then, I know, Janann, oh, we talk all the time. Then when I heard her story at the fashion show, she lost 139 pounds. Guess how much I weigh? I weighed myself before I came here, and it said 139 pounds. So she lost me. Look at that. How'd you like to go around with me on your back?
I don't want to lose you.
And then Beverly, dear, I got a room. Beverly, come here. We got another story about the phone bridge. Beverly and I connected with a lady in New Zealand that I spoke to on the Skype, and Beverly just spoke to her, right? Yeah. And so Christine said, "Oh, she sponsored her at one time." And Christine from New Zealand said, "I'm coming to a convention, and I'm going through L.A. Could you and Beverly, you know, meet me and have lunch? I'll have like a 4 or 5 hour layover." And so she connected me to Beverly, who I've never met before. Beverly and I. Okay, and so we're both over 70. Can't believe that. I know I don't act my age at all. and then we both have sleep apnea, and so we have these little machines that, you know, we have to go with. And then last night I'm pushing buttons on mine and it says service required, and I said, well, Beverly, it's a good thing you're deaf because I'm gonna snore all night. But I mean, it's this. And so I never would have met Beverly. And now she's got me signed up to go to Catalina in the spring. You know, I mean, we just connected. This program is just so wonderful. And I've got so many more stories to tell, but you'll just have to invite me to your place. You know, pay for my mileage and give me a little stipend and I'll come and tell stories like I did the other night. I have a lot of stories to tell. So thank you all very much.
I'm Jill, a compulsive overeater. And I hid this disease all my life. As a child or a teenager, I would go into my restroom and purge and think that no one knew what was going on. And later on in life, I found out that they did know what was going on. Just in my family, nothing was ever said. We hid all these things. So the day I found See How, my sister brought me in, and the words that turned the key were, this is a spiritual program, not a diet. And that's what I'd been hoping for all my life, was something that would change things. But to get to this point, I prayed 3 years on a daily basis for my family's healing from obesity. I didn't even know what to call it at that point. I'd never heard of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous. So we need to get the message out there. I don't know if I would have come a day earlier, but we need to have people know that CHOW's there for them and not just for us. So let's go back and take this word out to everyone. And this is the wonderful Oklahoma-Texas group. And we had our very first retreat in Oklahoma this year. We put on a 3-day retreat. It was a higher power, powerful thing, because every time we needed something, we had to turn it over, and it came. Every single time. And so we just increased our fellowship, and it was a great way of bringing new people in. And we have a song for you.
This was a song that was shared with us by our workshop leader, and it's so touching to us. I hope you'll like it. If you know it, sing with us. I don't think UDS would mind me telling you that she led our workshops. They were wonderful.
Yes. Awesome.
there anyone else that was going to share? Okay, we have just a couple more shares, and then we're going to close with the Serenity Prayer. And just remember, if anyone has any translation equipment, to please turn it in before you leave.
Hello, I'm Suzanne, grateful, compulsive eater. And I do my face-to-face meetings. Some of my people are here from Santa Monica. And I also do phone bridge. So I got an opportunity to meet a lot of you, and it was very touching. My sponsor is here somewhere, I think. And three of my sponsees got to come to the convention, and I met this one for the first time. And I really, really want to work the next year taking the message to the blind community. There's a lot of isolation to begin with and a lot of obesity, which just brings on more isolation. So if anyone wants to help me, please contact me. I'm on the phone list. My name is Suzanne E., and I'm just so grateful. I'm looking forward to next year. I think I might bring a couple of blind friends who have shown interest, so I won't be the only one. And I want to thank Ray, and I want to thank my sponsor. I lost my mom last year, and I got through that with my sponsor and all of my people, and my very best friend who's in this program, who's not here today because her own mom has had a stroke. And we were there for each other, and she's my sister. And because of this program, you are my people, you are my family. My mom was afraid of dying and leaving me an orphan. And my friend was there to tell her she's not alone before she died. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Hi, and this is Coco, compulsive overeaters. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you all. Because every time we came from Mexico, we go back to our country with our heart full of love for the program and everything. I mean, we take everything, every word of you, everything from here to Mexico, and we are very thankful personally. And I don't get tired to say thank you to my friend Ray. She's a great person. I know her from long time, more than 20 years. So he is such a big person. And every year that we come, I came to the convention, I feel bigger, taller. I'm too sure, but I feel big because I feel all my heart full of love of all of you. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello, I'm Cheryl, recovering compulsive eater. I am so grateful to be here at this convention. I felt so much love from so many people that I do face-to-face meetings with, people that are on the phone bridge, Janann, and people I hear all the time, Tatiana, Sheila B. It's just like, it's too numerous to mention all the names. You guys, I love you so, so much. This program, I had some goals coming into this convention, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to meet all the goals, but all the goals that I set for myself, my first goal, a lot of people, they know that I really wanted to be in that fashion show last night. So what I did was I went out and had my hair done. I had my makeup done. I put on this fancy dress, and I paraded around like a model. So I'm saying that to say that, you know, you may not get your year, but, you know, you could still look like a model if that was your goal for this year. And my goal for next year is to be in the fashion show. Saying it out loud. Also, I was telling everybody, oh, we're going to do this dance with David R., because we go to his workshop after the Saturday morning meeting in Santa Monica. He teaches on Broadway off of Lincoln at 10 o'clock, 10:15, right after that Saturday morning meeting. in Santa Monica. So, we didn't get to do that Friday night because he had to work. But last night, after the fashion show, I mean, at the last dance, David led our routine. We got on stage and we danced and there were other people following. So we actually did get to do our dance. So I'm grateful for that. I have to give my higher power all the praise and glory for that. I met people that I just admired and they shared, you know, from their hearts and I learned things. I know today I have to go out and make an amends that I just kind of been putting off. And I know that when I make that amend, my men's section is going to go. So when you guys see me next year, this men's section is going to be gone. But anyway, you guys are the best. I'm so grateful to being able to sing in that choir with Claudette, leading us and directing us. Therese, thank you so much for just everything you've done. It's just beautiful. You are a beautiful person. Thank you for having enough courage to, you know, get this program started, and to Suzanne for, you know, being the chairperson for this convention and you know, getting everybody to do all the work and everything. It's just been great. So that's all I need to say right now. But I love you all. See you all again throughout the year. Come to David's class and dance with us after the meeting.
Hi, and last but not least, or least but not last.
My name is Rachel Ray Z. I'm a very, very compulsive person. Not only in food and other things, but I'm not going to tell you what they are. Want to have some fun? Let's have some fun. I originally came from Weight Watchers, Tops, Shots, Doctors, Pills, no matter. The only thing I never had was had my mouth wired. That I never had. But my best girlfriend did. And one Saturday night, I spent the evening with her, and I watched her make whipped potatoes and suck it through a straw. I watched it. Went to the dentist with her, and he removed it. She said, "Why are you taking that off?" She said, "You're cheating. You're cheating." So nothing works except this program. It's not this program. It's the 12 steps. It's the discipline. So let's have some fun. When I decided to move to California from Chicago, my family said, and all my friends said, "Don't go there. You will never make it. Never." And I used to say, "Why?" Well, number one, you don't drive a car. I still don't drive a car. Number two, you don't speak Spanish. I still don't speak Spanish. But I've been to Mexico, right? And I'm maybe going back in November. I still don't speak Spanish, but our eyes speak Spanish. And we do understand. And I love them dearly, and they love me. The third one was, you'll never give up the food. Never. You have a disease. And I never believed it. I never believed that was a disease. I always said I ate because I liked the food. I enjoy it. Food to me was always an entertainment. You go to the movies, you eat. You go to a wedding, you eat. I've been to funerals where I was eating. You eat wherever there is food. I would like to say thank you to all in each level, all of you, because I'm a very selfish person. I did not do this for anybody but me, because I was desperate. I have a lot of physical problems. It's a miracle that I'm standing up in front of you and to be the age I am. And it's only because the discipline of our program taught me how to take care of my body, about my soul, and about my brain, and how I think, and how I act, and how I make my amends. So let's talk about amends. I'm tired of making amends. And the most important thing for me is to make amends to me. because I'm okay. I'm all right. And I'm the happiest I've ever been in my whole life. I am going back home next month. And I was invited on a Saturday to come back to OA to be a guest at Jack Z's 40th anniversary. And I was told never to come back there. I was so honored at that invitation that I called my brother and said, you know, Bernard, I can come Sunday, but I can't come Saturday because I want to go to this dinner. He said, you can't do that. I said, why not? It's only one day. He said, you're speaking at the orphanage that raised you on Sunday, so you have to show up. So I can't go to the dinner. But I was invited after 30 years. 30 years to come. So hang in there. This program is not all about one main thing. It's all about love. It's all about loving each other. We all make our mistakes. We all make our amends. And you know what? But we are not a mistake. We are God's children. Stay in the room and remember one thing. What can I do for you? Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. And if everybody wants to stay standing, we can join hands and say the Serenity Prayer. And next year, we will join again. And we'll be bigger numbers, too. Okay, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm coming back. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. It won't if you don't, and you are worth it. Woohoo!